From news across the world to events in your community. Hear about it all on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Setter, our fabulous producer, fabulouser, he could never be, troubleshooting, taking good care of us, archiving, and making sure that everything gets on the radio. That's his specialty, so we appreciate all of his help and hard work. On the news line with us now, Samantha Pearson, I'm going to call her the outgoing executive director of Lewisburg Neighborhoods, Elm Street Manager, and Walk It, Bike It Coordinator. Thank you so much for calling in, Samantha. We appreciate it. Good morning.
Good to be here, Mark.
And are we calling you a short timer? How much time left in your tenure at the leadership helm there?
Well, we're in June right now, and basically I will be here for June, and then I am moving on.
Well, thank you so much for all the hard work you did. I know it was a really comprehensive job you did, not just when you were happened to be in the office or working the assigned hours, as they say, but you gave a lot of thought and work and reading and travel and research went into this. So just as a member of this region, I say thank you for that. Really, really appreciate it. Let's talk about one thing that you have done in the past year, and that's really stay close to the COVID-19 numbers, the pandemic, the public health aspect of this, trying to keep people safe if they so choose to stay safe. I guess I would add that caveat. What are the trends in the numbers, and what should we be doing now as it, when it comes to common sense safety mitigation?
Sure. The really big thing is the numbers are looking better overall, but, we're not done yet. And so the biggest thing we can be doing is getting vaccinated and helping other people to get vaccinated. And then the other things we can do is, if you are not vaccinated, definitely to keep doing mitigation or even possibly start doing mitigation. There have been people who've, been sort of rejecting that for a while, and they may be reassured by the numbers, but the numbers actually are a little hard to read sometimes. We've known that for the entire past year, and one of the things that's hidden in the numbers right now is that, risk level has dropped dramatically, and say if you're fully vaccinated, you're in great shape. If you're not vaccinated or not fully vaccinated, actually risk levels have not dropped as much, because you're in a sort of smaller pool of people, and the transmission is happening among those in that smaller pool of people at about the same rate it's been at for the past 2 months or 3 months even.
Why are the numbers so low? We're getting some single-digit reports from the county. If the disease is still present, it's certainly not widespread.
Well, so, again, we do know that many seniors, many older people, many people with vulnerabilities are, sort of inherent vulnerabilities are already vaccinated. And so the people among whom the virus continues to circulate most evidently are actually in that category of less likely to experience symptoms and less likely to get tested. So case numbers are dropping. That is true. But if you look at our hospitalization and death numbers, they are really, which has always been, sort of a key all along, but, they're lagging numbers. You don't get to see them quite as quickly. You'll see that those have been relatively level. And so that's where you start to realize that, this is hard because it's a math problem. And people don't like to talk about arithmetic. And so if I say, that the denominator is getting smaller, so the same number on the top actually, of the equation actually means more, that can be really confusing to people. A simple, and I don't have a great simple way of doing it, but I have a post that's about to go up on the website, and we do have another article coming out in the paper where we look exactly at that. We're like, okay, our incidence rate for the whole population, may be, and I don't actually have that number for Union County in front of me, I actually have it for Lycoming, might be 50 cases per 100,000 over the last 7 days. But if you realize that approximately a third of the population is already vaccinated, and you divide instead of by the whole population by, you know, that the two-thirds that are not yet vaccinated, that 50 number actually rises to 77 cases per 100,000 in 7 days. And that's a substantial change, right? So depending on vaccination levels, you could be masking a trend that you're otherwise not seeing.
Well, are we just going to have this group of individuals who choose not to be vaccinated, nor socially distanced, nor mask, who are kind of going to give it to each other, and then they're going to get COVID, and that's their opportunity, their prerogative, and regardless, the vast majority of them won't get it, and the vast majority won't die from it, so
right.
Is that the new normal?
So at a certain level, yes, we're looking at it being in the disease going to an endemic stage where it's just sort of circulating, and it'll circulate among the people who are still susceptible to it, which would definitely include the non-vaccinated. The catch is that, you know, yes, we're looking at that group of people, but that group of people isn't just people who are rejecting these measures. It also includes people who are in the process of getting vaccinated and haven't completed their course yet, and it includes people who are unable to get vaccinated. Now, there are some people maybe, you know, with an immune-suppressed condition, they might be doing chemo, they might, have some disease that messes with their immune system more generally, like lupus or something like that, and they might be unable to get vaccinated, or they could get vaccinated and it's not thought to be as effective as it might be. In fact, even people 85 and over that get fully vaccinated, it's a little hit or miss whether how effective their immune system is at responding to the vaccines in general. But then there's also this still quite large category of people who are not eligible because of their age. So people keep forgetting. They're like, oh, you know, the parents in the household are fully vaccinated, we're good, but they have, you know, several kids under, particularly now 12 and under, or under 12, who cannot get vaccinated yet. And the kids are vulnerable. I know there's this, you know, feeling that kids, well, they don't get really sick. And it's true, they don't get as sick on average, but they certainly can, and we're still dealing with these other long-lasting after effects. Even for people who did not have a severe case or didn't even notice, you know, the first time around that they were sick, we are getting people that get these multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children that we're getting adults with long-lasting effects, whether it's that, you know, brain fog, sort of a post-concussion-like syndrome that just lasts and lasts and lasts. There are doctors, even in our area, who are, you know, grappling with these things with people who actually got the disease, and we are exposing our children to that right now, which is just, you know, it would be better to choose not to do that.
Okay.
we have the choice. We have the vaccine. Let's go ahead and use it.
We have lots of folks who say, well, I've been vaccinated, so, haven't been vaccinated, but say, why get a vaccination? If you get a vaccination, you can still get it anyway. Or they say, I've already had it, so there's no need to get vaccinated. What's your view on those hesitant people?
Sure. So if you've already had it, actually, we're getting great data because so many people globally have had the vaccine, and you know, it's been in circulation now for basically, you know, 5 months, and there's a lot of information. And basically what we're seeing is that vaccination provides more comprehensive, stronger protection than getting sick, and it's definitely very clearly a safer way of getting that protection. Your body with the vaccine does not actually get exposed to the virus, right? It gets tested with a piece of the, it's not even a piece of the virus, but a characteristic of the virus. It gets taught how to look for the spike protein, and where when you get coronavirus, it invades your you know, respiratory system, it invades your circulatory system, even your nervous system can be involved. That's what, you know, the brain fog and stuff. When you get the vaccine, by contrast, you get a very small dose of, you know, containing some of the spike protein, which is not the virus itself. It, like I said, it's just sort of a marker. And you get that small amount of spike protein that into your muscle, it will get to some of your lymph nodes, and that will allow your entire immune system to learn how to recognize it and fight it off. That is a completely different level of, you know, bodily involvement. So that's one thing. It's less of a hazard. It's also more comprehensive because people get different, you know, their body may have managed to fight off the actual infection, but they may not have had, they may not have encountered exactly what they need to fight off the next one. And so the vaccine seems to be, is showing itself to be more effective at that. In terms of the question of whether it'll prevent you from getting it, what it will prevent you definitely from doing is getting severe disease or having the worst outcome, which is death, right? Like, it is incredibly effective. All the vaccines we have are incredibly effective at that. So if you were still to get it, you would most likely get a very mild case. Maybe you would have some symptoms, but you're just not going to be adding to those hospitalization and death numbers. And that, again, is what we're hearing from physicians locally, is that the people who are in the hospital now in our area are people who are not fully vaccinated.
All right, so that's the key then, is that you're that this studying and this science and this development and these answers are still evolving and coming out. Somebody may have an unanswered question, say, well, I had the disease, I don't want to get vaccinated, I've already had it. But the new research is coming out, and more, you know, more data is coming out, and more information is coming out.
Yeah, in fact, so we've even heard from some local prominent anti-vaxxers. There's one from the Williamsport area who has been, I think, on national news talking about how, you know, she is very concerned about side effects of vaccines, but in, you know, talking to doctors, and people are encouraged to talk to their doctor, you know, check with your doctor, talk to them about your concerns. But in talking to doctors, she heard that she understands that most vaccine side effects, the ones that are less likely to be caught by trials that only have tens of thousands of people in them rather than hundreds or millions of people in them, the one in a million effects, you will start to see those in general after about 6 weeks. And so we have been using this vaccine since early December at this point, and we have had time, you know, to see those longer-term after effects that are much more minor, like far fewer people have them.
Well, and they're less contagious too, you know, when they get the disease.
That particular thing, like the idea of the specific and hard to find side effects, is a big challenge for a lot of anti-vaxxers. And it's like, well, this woman is like, when she understood that 6 week threshold had been passed months and months ago, and we have seen a few, one in a million effects, we also are learning how to address them, right? Most of them, like, say, the clotting issue with Johnson & Johnson, it is something that is treatable, right?
All right, well, we have to stop you there. We'll pick this up at 7:40 because I think we're on to something here. You know, this idea of what are the lingering ailments and contagions and susceptibility that we still have to talk about. So to be continued. Samantha, stand by. We're going to talk to you at 7:40. We'll be joined by an individual who's going to be elevated to the new program director at Lewisburg Neighborhood as well. Taylor Lightman's going to check in for the next segment. So, Samantha, please hold on, and we'll talk at 7:40. 40 to Samantha Pearson, outgoing executive director, Lewisburg Neighborhoods, and Elm Street manager, Walk It, Bike It coordinator. And we'll be talking to her successor when we rejoin them at 7:40 this morning.
News and interviews from across the world and right here in the central Susquehanna Valley. This is WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Rob Center, a fabulous producer, fabulouser even today with two people on the line shortly. So we appreciate his help and hard work. And when these interviews are done, you just go to the WKOK podcast page and the archive's up and running. And we always appreciate Rob Center's help and hard work on that. On the news line with us now, we reintroduce Samantha Pearson, executive director of Lewisburg Neighborhoods, Elm Street manager, Walk It, Bike It coordinator. When we last spoke, we were talking to her about the real nuances of being vaccinated or not, and what the real cautions are that we should be following again these days. Samantha, thank you for being on the line.
Good to be here, Mark.
Appreciate that. And Taylor Lightman is back on the line. He's been on WKOK a number of times in our studios. He's been literally around the world studying for the past few years and did pick up his master's degree, so we appreciate his hard work in our valley. Barnstorming podcast is where I always hear him, but he also his name's going to be popping up in a lot of things around here. Taylor, thanks for calling in.
It's my pleasure, Mark. Thanks for having me.
I really do appreciate it, and congratulations. Let's have Samantha introduce the transition that's underway and how, if at all, the Lewisburg neighborhoods may change in the years ahead. Go ahead, Samantha.
Well, we have been, doing a hiring search for, the past couple months, and we were thrilled to get some good applicants and a great applicant in Taylor. And our plan right now is Taylor's coming on, at the beginning of June, and he and I are working together for the month of June. That will help him make the transition into the role, help him learn the ropes. I can answer lots of questions. We can do a lot of closeout for stuff that I've been doing and, get him off to a good start. And then, I encourage people in the community to, check in with Taylor help. That will be part of his onboarding. He's getting onboarded as a community resource, so people should really, work on making that connection.
Will there be any adaptations or changes in the future of Lewisburg neighborhoods, any different directions or slight mission adjustments, things along that line, Samantha?
Well, I am not going to be here to determine it as the program manager, but I expect to still be involved as a volunteer, and I trust Taylor to help the organization, adapt and respond as needed to, what the community wants and sees ahead of it. And so while I think he's hoping to maintain a lot of the things that we've been doing, I'm also looking forward to what he, the direction he takes it in.
Taylor has a background in political organizing and an MS degree in disaster risk management in climate change adaptation from Lund's University in Sweden. That's where he was studying for the past few years. Taylor, as you look at Lewisburg neighborhoods, what is this organization in your view?
Mark, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on. I'm so excited to be in this role, and it's really big shoes to fill. Sam has done just a tremendous job, and I think Lewisburg Neighborhoods is a really vital part of making downtown Lewisburg a place that people can live, work, and play and just have a lot of fun and live healthy and fulfilling lives downtown. And I think they pick up a lot of different threads that make that possible, from the green team that plants a lot of trees. You probably heard some of the volunteer opportunities that we had this last spring, to Walk It, Bike It, which really puts walkability and bikeability in the front seat, so to speak, and just a myriad of programs. And so I think Lewisburg Neighborhoods is just a really important part of a vital downtown Lewisburg.
Well, I think of you as a resident of Winfield, so you're well familiar with the valley. So that was an important, or was that an important aspect of your application? in your view?
Yeah, I love the Central Susquehanna Valley so much. It's my home, and it's the opportunity to work to improve it and better it and take on this organization and in this role. It was a dream opportunity, and I'm really thrilled to be doing it.
All right, initial tasks. What are you going to attack? Of course, getting up to speed will be the first part, but what do you see as the high priorities as you take over?
That's a really good question, Mark. You mentioned that my background is in disaster risk management and climate change adaptation. I think that, you know, Lewisburg, like many of the river towns along the Susquehanna Valley, or Susquehanna River, faces a lot of issues around flooding. And so I'm really curious to work on flood mitigation. This is something that Lewisburg has been working on, and I see you noted today in WKOK that we're starting a new flood mitigation project in Nature Play Area in Hoofnagle Park. So I'm hoping to build off these efforts. I think that's a really good place to start for me.
Well, just the fact that you say Hoofnagle correctly sets you apart, so I'm going to, I'm going to appreciate that. Samantha, reflections on additional words about bringing Taylor on, and we'll start to look for the future of things that we know that are going to happen under his leadership and in the future.
Well, I think one of the things that people will really appreciate about Taylor coming on is that he also, even though he's it's about a change, it's also about a return of the normal in a certain sense, in that, you know, he's going to be focusing on our ongoing projects and programs, as opposed to the, you know, COVID-19 obsession for the last year. I think it's going to help us, you know, move past that, not just getting vaccinated, but also, you know, bringing in new blood, as it were.
Hagenboo, Julie Hagenboo, are you going to be her best friend now, Taylor, and keep the Radio Free Lewisburg going?
Julie is a good friend, and I'm hoping to support her in this with this podcast any way I can. And you noted that Barnes, I do my own podcast sometimes, which is unrelated to Lewisburg neighborhoods. But I'm really excited to collaborate with Julie.
Right, so you're already familiar with the whole process of producing a good podcast and what might go into it. Okay, so future events, activities, what's on the agenda as the summer progresses? We'll ask Samantha first, then Taylor, to kind of fill out the calendar the rest of June and July and into August.
Sure. So we, in the summer, we are not necessarily as active, but this year, because of you know, COVID, some things are shifting into the summer, so we do, and we have, there are new initiatives happening, collaborations between different organizations. So, for example, in terms of activities and events, we're participating with, you know, the Downtown Partnership. Walk It, Bike It is helping with their craft fair coming up just this Saturday. That will be in downtown pretty much, you know, most of the day, 9 to 5. Walk It, Bike It will be providing crosswalk ambassadors just sort of at that key crossing area between, you know, right around 6th Street and the mid-block crosswalk at the rail trail. Then looking further ahead, we are also in a collaboration on working with the piers in the town green near the covered bridge and the rail trail in town, and that we're hoping to have a musical performance on the summer solstice, so that would be Sunday, June 20th.
What is this, a Stonehenge of Lewisburg now?
Exactly, yeah, Berghenge. And then Taylor mentioned, you know, Green Team, which is a sort of smaller volunteer activity that we do throughout the growing season, and that happens on Thursday night, 7 p.m., usually starting from Lewisburg Landing over by the St. George Street boat ramp.
So tell Taylor, elements of the future activities that you already have on your calendar as we move forward.
There's, for a few years now, there's been an informal leisurely ride, bicycle ride around Lewisburg called the Slow Roll, and I'm hoping to fold that into our programming and have some good events on that, and you can, people that are interested in doing that can check back in on our website, lewisburgneighborhoods.org, or our Facebook page.
All right, so those are things that we will look forward to. Well, an additional comment from each of you. What haven't we covered that we do need to with your open mic, Samantha, and in your short time capacity? What else needs to be brought up here?
Well, just, you know, the Radio Free Lewisburg that you mentioned, we should have another episode up later today. We've actually recorded a bunch that got either scooped or, you know, just, you know, as everything with everything changing, we had to, you know, re-record. So we're glad to be able to put another episode out, and stay tuned for Taylor to be featured on that.
Yeah, welcome to our world. As soon as you do an interview, it's outdated. It loses its relevancy. An additional comment, Taylor, please, something you'd like to add.
I just want to reiterate that I'm so excited about taking on this role, and I'm looking forward to collaborating with as many people as possible to make Lewisburg a better place. And I, you know, as Sam mentioned earlier, you know, I'd love to talk with you, you as in the audience, and you, Mark, as well. So if you want to reach out, please do.
All right, and Samantha, an additional comment. I'll precede that with a big thank you for the fantastic work in Lewisburg. Really put Lewisburg neighborhoods on the map, and a real tour de force to make progress happen. So a thank you to you, and we'll give you the closing remark.
Sure. I'm just really thrilled to be able to hand this off to Taylor. I think that Taylor has the potential, and he also is sort of indicative of, you know, this move to make the most of and be enticing to our youth. You know, we want people to travel the world, you know, grow up here, travel the world, and come back here. And I think Taylor's a real get, right? He is, you know, from our area, from Union County, and he really values it and is going to help us thrive.
Well, thank you both so much in advance for all you're going to do this year, and Samantha in the remaining work in that particular seat, but I know you're still a strong member of our community, and Taylor, thank you in advance for the work that you have in the years ahead. Thank you both so much for being on WKOK today.
Great talking to
you. My pleasure. Thank you.
Samantha Pearson, outgoing executive director of Lewisburg Neighborhoods, lewisburgneighborhoods.org. She's also Elm Street manager and Walk It, Bike It coordinator for another month or so. And Taylor Lightman, currently of Winfield, the new program manager for Lewisburg Neighborhoods. So we appreciate him checking in today. And as always, thanks to Rob Center. You can hear the entire interview, including the first segment that we recorded at 7:10 this morning about COVID-19, the mitigation efforts, and the remainder of the disease in our valley. You'll be able to check that out on the WKOK podcast page.